97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hello and welcome into the podcast exclusive here for Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Thank you so much for downloading another podcast this week. Of course, you can download the show's podcast if you missed it right here on the website or the radio.com app or wherever else you're downloading our podcast. And we certainly appreciate that you are. Tony Colombo, Bo Matthews, who just spilled everything.
Water in a studio is not a good thing. We got it. We're good. Carry on.
You have a lid on that thing, right?
Yeah. There's no stopper. Anyway, continue, if you will.
I will. That's Bo. He's making a mess. Producer Chad Ellis is here. And if you're listening to the show this week, you know that also in the studio is our friend Jesse from Razorback Armory. Thanks for sticking around.
I appreciate it.
Doing a little extra time with us. And State Rep Nick Schroer is on the phone. Nick, great to talk with you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again.
So if you didn't hear the show or download the show's podcast yet, you might be we'll get you up to speed. We have been talking about the state of Illinois just released their pot sales numbers, their legal marijuana sales numbers for January, the first month that it's been available there in the state, and they made $40 million in revenue.
That's just ridiculous.
Off of
you thinking about selling a gun store
marijuana.
And maybe going
right.
I'm in the wrong business.
Of course, 2020 is also the first year that medical marijuana is available here in the state of Missouri. So we have Jesse from Razorback Armory, who sells guns and does the background check every single day for people that are purchasing new guns, and we know that it's still against federal law to buy a firearm if you smoke marijuana. So you can't, even if you're getting it legally from your state, if you're in Illinois, or you're getting it from your doctor here in the state of Missouri, you are put in a, you're put in a bind. You have to make a decision. Just about everybody out there listening has been touched by cancer in some way.
Of course,
when my dad had his battle with cancer, before we had medical marijuana here in the state of Missouri, doctors told him on the down low, hey, if you can find somebody that you trust, you might want to get your hands on some because it can help you.
Sure.
So there's going to be people, this is a real thing that is going to be happening, that people are going to be getting prescribed medicine from their doctors, and they're going to have to make a decision, do I want to do what's right for my health and get my medical marijuana, or do I want to protect my Second Amendment rights and make sure that I can still purchase a firearm? And that is a decision that I don't like people having to make.
No.
What do you think, Nick? Am I overstating it by putting it that way? Am I making it more dramatic than it is? Or is that the honest truth that people are going to be facing?
It's a dangerous world, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, you hit it spot on. I don't know. Any other legal drug, any other legal prescription that you can get is not treated this way. And I know on the show, which people can pull that up if they haven't heard it. You've got these veterans that have come forward in committees that I've dealt with that have said they bring in all of their former prescriptions saying, look, this is what I'm legally prescribed. It makes me suicidal. It makes me, kind of crazy. And I can keep my guns. I can keep my guns and have a gun, which if I am suicidal, I can use and taking my life, which many veterans, many first responders have. But then if you find another drug, a legal drug in the way of medical marijuana, which a lot of these guys have, come to testify in favor of, now that it's legal here, you're telling me that I'm putting my Second Amendment rights, which are going to defend me, my family. We've got one of the most violent cities. I'm trying to change that in the city of St. Louis, right next door to some of the safest in the city of, or in the county of St. Charles County. But when you have legal gun users that are being prescribed things that can impact their mind, it does not, to me, it doesn't pass common sense why you would still allow them to have their guns, but something like medical marijuana, which is not going to impact your psyche, so to speak, has not been proven to make you suicidal in any way. You're going to strip these individuals of their Second Amendment rights. So, yes, when you're balancing your constitutional rights versus life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, they should go hand in hand. You shouldn't be, saying, look, you can have one or the other.
Yeah. And Jesse, do you have any opinions on what you think? I mean, being somebody that, is selling guns every single day and pushing these background checks through, do you have a thought in your mind of a good way to reconcile this situation?
Well,
or is it just a box of coat hangers?
Well, right now it's a box of coat hangers. I mean, the best case scenario is if they did reclassify marijuana and made it so that across the board, all the whole nation, that you could be prescribed it and it would just be like any other medication. But because we're doing this at the state level, kind of like Nick was telling you, you know, it's the best way to do it is actually what Nick is wanting to do is make sure that they cannot access the information that you applied for a medical marijuana card.
Yeah.
Because if they got that information and loaded it to the database, whether you checked you are or you are not on the form, it'll pop up if they load that to the database when we're doing a background search.
Just like if you had a felony or something like that. Now, in the store, in your store, Razorback Armory, do you have to police when the person comes in and they're filling out the form, if they smell like Cheech and Chong or if they're drunk? No, and I'm serious.
No, you're correct.
What do you do? Do you still go through the process or?
I have the ultimate right at any time to stop any purchase via gut feeling, via actual. I mean, the guy's fall down drunk. You know, he like smells like Cheech and Chong. However you want to look at it, we have the.
Does that happen, by the way?
I've stopped. I've stopped some firearm sales. Yeah. It's very few.
I'm sure it's rare. But
you know, there are some times where you know people have been.
We'll have to get
maybe,
a third podcast
maybe,
to tell those
maybe
stories.
Maybe overserved or something, and you know, and we just kind of. I try to respectfully say, hey, let's push this off to tomorrow. Let's think about this.
Yeah.
You try to be as respectful as you can, but at the same time, I'm not going to sell a firearm to someone who's intoxicated because I'm going to become responsible for that.
Right.
The one thing that you guys have to remember, too, is that even though somebody legally has a prescription of marijuana, it could be like alcohol. Alcohol is legal, but if you're under the influence of it, if you're under something, whether it's Xanax or whatever it may be, if it's going to impair you mentally, you cannot have your concealed weapon on you.
Right.
And that's one of the things that you have to be a responsible gun owner. And just like, you know, I can legally go out and have a couple drinks, but at the same time, if I'm caught with my gun on me and I am drunk, that can get me in some criminal trouble.
Serious trouble.
Yeah. Yes. So Nick, it's important to us, obviously, we're talking about it. It's important to the audience of this show, but how important is it to the general lawmaker in the state of Missouri? Where does this fall on the priority list? Is it high? Is it low? Is it somewhere in the middle? And then that question for the state, and then federally, do you have any belief that it's important to the feds to fix this problem?
Well, you know, I know for a fact that it's very important to Republicans and Democrats here in the House. We've got, and even in the Senate, too. But we've got former law enforcement officers that believe that this is incredibly important, one of which had a bill, which I ended up attaching my legislation onto by way of amendment. We're working together on that, and that should be on the House floor, make some news here shortly. But even in the Senate, you know, you've got individuals that may not even like medical marijuana. They may have, you know, voted against it before in the past when we had a Senate bill or a House bill dealing with it. But they understand, look, this is now a legal prescription, and your Second Amendment rights are, you know, very important to protecting you, yourself, your right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. On the federal level, you have the Trump administration that has come out indicating that he would like to see it reclassified, declassified, that he would like to see some sort of action on maybe even legalization of marijuana, since the majority of states have taken action on that. But again, until we win back the House, until Republicans win back the House, even though I think Democrats and Republicans agree for the majority on this, Pelosi's not going to want to give Trump a win, and we're not going to want to work with Pelosi when she rips up something like the speech that you saw the other night.
Oh, I thought that was the impeachment article she was ripping up. Dang it.
No, that was something different.
Well, that was the Constitution that she's for many years.
Boom, right there. You know, and speaking of the State of the Union, Nick, you weren't there, right?
No, I was not there. I was actually in the Capitol in Missouri. We had just finished up, and a group of us, legislators from across the state, got together and watched it. And it was very, very interesting. You know, you've got all these different guys from across the state. You got farmers, lawyers, doctors, all sitting together. The one thing that we all stood up and started clapping, you know, clapping for a TV, was when he spoke about the right to life, something that I passed last year in House Bill 126. But you get different reactions. But it was very, very strange that that was the one thing that bound all of us together.
My wife actually challenged me that, and I should have done it, that every time the audience stood up in the State of the Union, I should have stood up to get my squats in, but I didn't do that. But did you feel a boost when he mentioned the Second Amendment in his speech?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, you could just feel it in that entire building. You know, the Democrats didn't even stand up for record low unemployment for women, minorities. So, you know, they weren't going to applaud anything. But I think that really, you know, sent shockwaves across the base when he's standing for, you know, the rights to life, right to the Second Amendment, things that, you know, Democrats used to. You know, think back, Democrats enacted in our laws in the 1980s that life begins at conception. They were the ones standing for the Second Amendment back in the 80s and 90s. And now you look today, we only had three Democrats that voted for the right to life bills. We rarely get any that'll stand up for the Second Amendment.
Right.
And that's what I think is very telling, that across the nation, you're going to have individuals that may have considered themselves Democrats years ago. Even still today, I've heard of some Democrats that are very much on the line, maybe even moderates, that when they saw Nancy Pelosi ripping that up and the Democrats are not standing for certain things like the right to life, your Second Amendment rights, now they're saying, look, I'm done with that party. I'm very open. You can win me over now.
Right. Yeah. Good stuff, guys. Thank you so much for sticking around and doing putting a little overtime for us. Don't forget, if you just downloaded the podcast exclusive, you can still download the show's podcast.
And if you're a part of a group that is a Second Amendment, you know, supporters, like I'm part of a group called Fins, Furs, Feathers, and Family. I share the podcast and the exclusive podcast with them. If you have a group that you're a part of, do the same. Spread the word that this is an exclusive, because we're obviously giving you.
That's right.
Kobe Steak.
Yeah, we appreciate everything you do for us, downloading the podcast. We appreciate everything that Razorback Armory and all the great sponsors of the show do for us as well. Jesse, before we wrap this up, one more time, how can people find you guys and learn more about everything about Razorback Armory?
Certainly. 12072 Manchester Road in DePere, right next to the tennis shop. RazorbackArmory.com online. Appreciate you guys and appreciate the show.
You bet. And Representative Schroer, fighting for Second Amendment rights and many, many other things in this legislative session of 2020 in Jefferson City. If people want to keep up with you and everything that's happening in the Capitol, how do they do it?
Hey, keep track with the fight for freedom. Go to house.mo.gov. You can look me up. Look at all the bills that I've got, Second Amendment bills. Keep track on them, the process that they're going through. You can find me at nick4rep.com. Or on Twitter, you can stay entertained with my rants, my fights for liberty and pursuit of happiness at Nick B. Schroer. All that can be found at nick4rep.com as well.
Great stuff. And again, thank you everybody for downloading the bonus podcast this week. Make sure you are listening to the show every Saturday at 3 o'clock on 97.1 FM Talk and every Sunday at noon on KMOX. And make sure you're downloading both podcasts if you are a podcaster every week, as this is something that we're going to continue to bring to you until you tell us that you don't want it anymore. And hopefully that doesn't happen anytime soon.
We didn't want you anywhere.
I'm Tony Colombo. That's Bo Matthews and producer Chad Ellis. Thank you guys so much for supporting everything we do here at Second Amendment Radio in the great outdoors. We'll see you soon.
Get more at 971talk.com.